WNYC Studios is supported by the Public Theater, presenting the world premiere of Jordans, a new play by Ife Olujobi about two young black colleagues forced together and torn apart by their race, ambition, and otherworldly circumstances. Directed by Whitney White, begins April 11th. Learn more at publictheater.org.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
But we were talking about Hurricane Ike. The footprints of Hurricane Ike are already well apparent across the Caribbean. Cuba took a second hit from violent weather this week. Hurricane Ike ran across the island twice, and it's carried on into the Gulf of Mexico, where it may gain strength and hit Texas or Louisiana. Joining us now to talk about the aftermath of Ike as we prepare for the storm here in the United States is the BBC's Michael Voss, who reports from Havana for our partners, the BBC. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John.
And also involved in the relief effort in Haiti for churches and for Haitians living here in the United States. Joining us from Miami is Pastor Reginald Jean-Marie of Notre Dame de Haiti Catholic Church from the Little Haiti neighborhood of Miami. Pastor, thanks for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I greet everybody who are listening to the show today, and thank you for having us.
Well, first of all, Pastor, you know, Haiti has really been hard hit. Can you explain the scale of the problems in Haiti and how difficult it is to deliver aid from your parishioners there from Miami?
Yes, actually, the situation is very chaotic in Haiti. I was in Haiti 3 days before before the storm Ike, and things were already very difficult because there was no food, no water to drink, and a lot of people lost the plantations, the livestock. So, and after the passing of Ike, I can imagine things are getting worse, and now it is very, very difficult to deliver food to the people due to the fact that all the bridges are cut down, and also still there is no way of transportation and communication via the road. So now it's still very difficult, and we don't know exactly when the government is going to be able to pave ways for the people to get the food.
Well, the United Nations suggests that $3 to $4 billion of damage has been imposed on Cuba from the double hit of Gustav and Ike. Michael Voss, Cuba usually prides itself on its preparedness for storms, but I suspect this has been a bit of a tough go for the Cuban people.
Yes, it has. I mean, it's one of the things about Ike is that it been moving incredibly slowly. So it spent almost 2 days sitting over Cuba, moving from the Cayman at the east, went all the way up to the west, bringing not just the heavy the winds, but incredibly heavy rains as well. And that's been a big problem. And the week before had been Hurricane Gustav, which came in as an absolutely devastating Category 4 and damaged 100,000 homes. So, yes, the communist authorities in Cuba take hurricane preparedness very seriously. Lots and lots of people were moved to safety, but still the destructive power of two big hurricanes in a week was terrible. Apparently, 2.6 million people, which is almost a quarter of the island's population, were moved to safer places and shelters in the last week.
And the fact that the storm Ike hit both sides of the island in different sort of hits meant that some people had to move twice.
Yes, they did. The second, what happened was it came in at the east. It went across the eastern end of the island and then followed the coast of Cuba, the eye of the hurricane just offshore, and then took a right and went up through the west. But even when it was following the coastal region with the eye offshore, the rest inland, because it was so close to the shore, was still getting the hurricane force winds and the rain. The worst hit area is actually in the west, in Pinar del Rio, which is the premium tobacco-growing country for Cuba's famous cigars. And it was Pinar del Rio which last week took a direct hit from Gustav. They lost electricity, hundreds of thousands of homes damaged. And then yesterday, that's exactly where Ike went before it left the country. They've had two hits. I know of one family who had most of their house destroyed, but had one room, the kitchen, was still intact. They lost that yesterday.
Pastor Reginald Jean-Marie in Miami, the Archdiocese has put out a call for donations. What has the response been for the people of Haiti?
It has been very positive, especially yesterday. We saw a lot of people coming to bring things to be able to help the victims, and we saw that the media responded very well as well to the crisis. So far, we can say that things are going very well, and we're hoping that in the next days that people will continue coming to help us. And also, we have a lot of institutions like medical institutions, the school. We got even flight attendants on different airlines who are trying to collect things, collect goods, and also to make monetary donations to Haiti. So we just pray and hope that the momentum will be on for the next few days.
You mentioned that most, if not all, of the bridges are out in Haiti from the storms. There are also other unique infrastructure problems in Haiti. Can you describe them quickly?
Well, there is no doubt Haiti has a great level of problems in terms of infrastructures. It's not just about the bridges that are broken. It's the fact also that the local authorities and the government has no control over people, most especially as to where they can build. If you look at the situation in Cabaret, it seems that a lot of people build the houses near the rivers. And that's what happens very often, especially when we have storms in Haiti. So when the storms come, you know, they just take the houses, and the houses are not even solid. And also we find out that there is no drainage in Haiti where the water can flow. So, and also it's a lack of education also in terms of the storms, especially for a country like Haiti that every year that will be hit by hurricanes. So there should be a bureau in Haiti that can at least educating people about the danger, about the threat of the storms. And there should be a plan also by the government and the local authorities to evacuate people. Just we saw things happen in Cuba. You know, things have been catastrophic.
Well, speaking of Cuba, Michael Voss, by the time Hurricane Ike hits the Texas or Louisiana coast, do you think you'll have the power on in your office?
Well, we're hoping so, but it's virtually the whole of Havana is without electricity. I'm in an office building that's got its own generator, which is why I'm able to talk to you now. But it's one of the last things that I did before it went out into the Gulf of Mexico was sort of damage the national grid. And it isn't just Havana that's suffering. Virtually the whole of the country is having serious problems getting electricity at the moment.
The rebuilding begins. The BBC's Michael Voss reports from Havana for the BBC. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome.
And dealing with donations from the people of Miami for the people of Haiti, Pastor Reginald Jean-Marie of Notre Dame de Haiti Catholic Church. Thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Blessings to you and to everyone.
Both of them in the footprints of Hurricane Ike. Lots of ways to catch up with us on The Takeaway. We're talking about all kinds of stories today. It's a big news day. Here's your takeaway for this hour.
Alaskans always knew we were the center of the universe, and now everyone else is realizing it, too.
You learned it on The Takeaway. That was Libby Casey, the Washington correspondent for Alaska Public Radio Network, talking about the trial of Alaskan Senator Ted Stevens. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.